Thank you for joining me today for Journey to Easter, our Holy Week mini-series about the significance and meaning of each of the days of Holy Week throughout Christianity. I'm Stephen Capp Perry, host of In Good Faith, and I'm so pleased to be speaking today with Pastor Jeff McCullough. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
He is the host of Hello Saints, which is a YouTube channel we hope you'll check out, and he's also part of the Salt and Light Church in Harriman, Utah. And some people would think the day of Holy Week we're talking about, Holy Saturday, and you said, this is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love the invitation to have a conversation about Holy Week, and Saturday is absolutely one of the most intriguing, fascinating, mysterious, and truly, I would say, practical, like when it just comes to practically applying mm-hmm. to how we live our lives.
So the crucifixion on Friday, Good Friday or Great Friday, Holy Friday, mm-hmm. and I can't help but think, what were the followers thinking? He gets buried to avoid being on the cross on the Sabbath, and they're bereft.
It's this cosmic letdown mm-hmm. for most of the Jews, where they had been following this rabbi for 3 years. He had reached celebrity Palm Sunday paparazzi status. Mm. And when it culminates to this letdown, and I don't know if there's even a word or a term to describe how quickly things changed from mm-hmm. Palm Sunday into Good Friday. And it all centered around people's expectations not being met when it came to the type of Messiah they were expecting versus the type of Messiah he truly was. And there's so much bewilderment, disenchantment, disorientation that sets in when, in such a public and violent fashion, it all ends. So they thought. It's almost anticlimactic in a strange sense, because we know that the disciples thought that this kingdom entry into Jerusalem was going to be the messianic reign.
Yeah.
And when it didn't play out that way, and we see this on the road to Emmaus with the disciples after Jesus' resurrection, who we get a little insight into the processing of how confused and saddened and grieved they were.
Don't they say, we thought he was to be the one?
That's right. And there's a great lesson in that, where we conflate our expectations in the moment with God's more grand plan in our lives and what he has in store for us. And that's why in that encounter, Jesus had to explain to them everything that was taught in the Old Testament, and had to help them take a step back and look at the bigger picture, which is why I think Holy Saturday is so profound, because we know that in that liminal space between his death on the cross, his burial, and then the resurrection, there was a similar thing taking place.
So you talk about expectations.
Yeah.
So how do you apply that?
There's so many different ways that we can apply that. First and foremost, let's just look at it from a Jewish standpoint. Mm-hmm. The Jews were an oppressed people. They had been through a lot over the previous generations, let alone in the Herodian reign and some of those other things. And they were desperate for deliverance. Mm. If you do the math on the years from the exile into the time when Christ was there, it's pretty close to how long the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. Mm. And so their expectations there were tied more to a terrestrial reign of the Messiah. And that's where I think Saturday comes alive to me. Because in that sense, in that geopolitical sense of expectation and desiring to be freed from the burden of slavery or oppression from the Romans, did they not see that this Holy Week was 6 days of significant work that Jesus had been doing leading up to mm-hmm. this cosmic climax of human redemption? And he says on that day on the cross, it is finished. And he breathes his last breath. And then he's placed in the tomb. And what does he do? He rests. And what day was it? It was the Sabbath.
The day of rest.
The day of rest. So Jesus was actually making a profound proclamation and declaration that I would go back to Colossians chapter 2. He proclaimed victory over evil. when he died on the cross. And he didn't have to do anything on Saturday because it is finished. The defeat of the enemy, the defeat of sin, the defeat of all that had been holding mankind captive was finished. And in that tomb, he rested as he inaugurates the new creation, which is what Paul talks about, those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. We are a new creation. Mm. And how it mimics and it mirrors Genesis chapter 1. So that day of rest, that Sabbath, even just from a Jewish standpoint, is pretty poetic and pretty profound.
I don't know if any human being who's lived more than 4 or 5 years does not have dashed expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
For me today, this is a way I can look at things, I think. That maybe my expectations for what I thought or hoped would happen or prayed for may be nothing compared to the, as you say, the grander plans of God, but I don't know them yet.
You don't know them yet.
Yeah.
Which means you're forced into a situation where you have nothing to do but wait.
Mm.
And this is what the disciples had to do. He said he was going to rise on the third day. They had maybe trauma-induced amnesia on Saturday, but we know he said it. We know he said it multiple times. He said it to the extent that the Roman authorities placed guards outside the tomb for fear that in order to fabricate the fulfillment of such prophecy, they might steal his body.
Right.
But they were in such a confused state. They were hiding out. They were scared. They were waiting. They didn't know what they were waiting for. When we find ourselves tossed about in the mismatched expectations of our lives, and there's the letdown, there's a loneliness, there's an isolation when our expectations aren't met. There's absence and there's disappointment. That is everything that not only the disciples were experiencing on Saturday, but that's life for a lot of us at various seasons where we feel isolated, we feel a longing for presence, and we feel disappointed. They had no choice. The disciples had no choice but to sit in that and to experience it in the advent of a potential resurrection. That's how I live my life sometimes. When I'm walking through uncertainty, all we have are the promises of God, the yet to be fulfilled promises of God.
So an opportunity for faith, really.
That's it.
I really love what you're teaching me, because if I was to summarize some of the days, I would know for sure the crucifixion. I would know the resurrection, but it would be easy to say, and then Saturday, that's the day nothing happens. But that's the whole point, you're
right.
Saying.
That's the whole point. That's where we typically live. Again, it's the advent of existence. We spend so much time waiting. We don't realize it, but we do. The mortal reality of this life is a life of waiting. Not to get too macabre here, but
we all have a deadline.
We all have a deadline. Psalm 139 talks about that, that our days are numbered in the Lord's book. What do we do in the meantime?
Yeah.
And Saturday, it holds us firmly when we lean into Saturday, that we can find meaning and purpose in the midst of uncertainty and disappointment and let down expectations, because we will always have one thing that will never be taken away from us, and that is the promises of God. Hmm. Sometimes that's all we have. And I think God teaches us on Saturday, and that's enough, because we serve a God who always fulfills his promises. To me, that is hope in that confidence of faith, knowing that God's promises will never let us down, no matter what we're sitting in.
I've heard sometimes the scripture used, usually with someone's passing, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord, like no matter the circumstance. This is really where we have to put that into practice and choose to believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing that I think it does as well is it gives us some practical insight into a more well-rounded understanding of salvation. A Holy Week isn't completed until the resurrection. And so what that means then is Jesus came to accomplish two things, to defeat sin on the cross and to defeat death in the grave. So for those of us who have embraced Christ and what he did on the cross and receive his forgiveness and the atoning sacrifice that he made on the cross, there is in all of the New Testament the expectation and the exhortation that we live as those who are not just bound to him in his death through baptism, but also in life through his resurrection. There's a practical encouragement there as well, because I know a lot of people who think because they receive Christ's forgiveness on the cross, that's it. And it, in the sense of sin being defeated, it is finished. But the story isn't happily ever after until we push toward resurrection. Romans chapter 6, the grace of God is great because of what Jesus has done on the cross, and we are unified with him in his death, but we are meant to live lives as resurrected beings. And I think that's the one area where it's dangerous to get stuck on Saturday. Mm. So there's some profound realizations that we can make on Saturday when we look at it in Holy Week, but the disciples weren't meant to stay on Saturday. Nobody was. Sunday was coming, and we are Sunday people. We are Easter people. And that's one thing that we talk about a lot in the Protestant persuasion, is that every Sunday is Easter. We will celebrate the holiday, mm-hmm. but every Sunday should be the gathering to celebrate the resurrected eternal life offered through Christ defeating death in the grave.
I'm wondering, what have you seen done in congregations or maybe personally or in homes to actually observe this way of thinking of Saturday?
One of the reasons why I'm so passionate about Saturday is because of how under-commemorated it is. Mm. Because typically you, in almost any Christian setting, Easter is going to be a thing. But there has been a significant increasing of commemorating Good Friday in the entire Protestant evangelical world in recent years. And even Monday, Thursday, and participating in Seders. But then there's Saturday, right? Getting lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Which is the way it's typically commemorated in the Protestant world, is that's the day you do the Easter egg hunt in the church in the church lawn with the kids.
Because it's Saturday.
We're out of school. Yeah. We had Good Friday service last night. Mm-hmm. We probably got a big day tomorrow because it's Easter, and there's going to be a big worship service, maybe multiple services. And so Saturday is the family day and the prep. I'm not saying any of that is bad, but I think that there is room for us to be maybe a bit more reflective based on just all of these different ways that we can commemorate the significance of Holy Saturday.
Yeah, so what you've talked about gives me ideas, even just on that day, to spend some time thinking about that. And my own expectations, my own faith for the future, and hopes and promises.
Yeah. It if we take a minute to look in the direction of something that we typically avert our eyes from, and it's a lot of what we just talked about, the reality of what the disciples must have been experiencing on Saturday. How scared they were, how confused they were, how disappointed, how maybe even angry some of them were. I don't know if Thomas was angry, but when Jesus finally showed up, there was a couple layers to get through there, right? I think we all know that. When we take a moment to face those things on Holy Saturday, it's almost like experiencing the Lenten season in one day. Because the whole idea of the Lenten season is, from death I came and from death I will return. It's this recognition of our mortality and our need mm-hmm. for an eternal God and some of these things. There's a lot of that, I think, that can take place on Saturday, for sure. And if I might add, it also makes Sunday that much more awesome. Because when he did bust out of that grave and hope arrived on the scene, how amazing of a reminder is it to what we have to anticipate in his return and the resurrected life for anybody who has put their faith in Christ.
And so many times, the joy is commensurate with the sorrow before
it. Yes, that's right.
I've been speaking with Pastor Jeff McCullough. Thank you so much for sharing your reflections here today. I hope you'll join us on Palm Sunday, April 13th at the Marriott Center on the Brigham Young University campus for Journey to Easter, which is a concert featuring DeLuke Choral Society, Orchestra, and Friends, as well as pastoral and academic reflections on Holy Week and Easter. Pastor Jeff will be there sharing about Holy Saturday. And we hope you learn about each of the days of Holy Week throughout the Christian world in our Journey to Easter series on the In Good Faith podcast. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and we'd love you to know that In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. Pastor Jeff, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.